minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
103 of the Daily Talk Show.
Hey, guys.
Yo, yo. It's Josh.
It's Tommy.
Yep.
Or as Robert said in the intro, is our names.
His name's Bob.
Robert is Bob.
Yeah, I guess.
Bob.
I guess, but he goes as Bob. So
yeah, I don't know why I went Robert.
That's okay.
You told me his name was Bob.
I said Bob. If you can hear any noise, you've got a stripper school next door?
There is. It's. I'm sure they would go with a pole dancing academy. But
it's one that I haven't seen anyone, but it's a more like a pole dancing.
Yeah, it's called something like pole divas. I don't know what it's called, but there's a bit of activity going on there. So if you do hear noise, and also right below us is a bar where people get maggoted. And
do you mean the deli, or is it all different?
No, so next to the deli, there's actually a bar. I've invited you there. It's where they do, and I love this, nachos trough. So before you even get it, you're thinking a trough is big.
I would always eat out of a trough if I could.
It is literally the size of a trough. It's great.
Horse trough.
It's not actually a horse trough.
Okay.
It's just a shitload of nachos.
I remember when I had the first nacho pizza, I would have been like 11.
Yeah.
And I lost my mind over it. It was my two favorite foods.
You used to live in a suburb called Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
Just telling you, just in case you forgot.
But why are you saying it as if this is a town that no one's going to ever know about?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I'm talking exactly. to our Japanese audience.
Yeah, no, I like it. No, I appreciate it.
So I remember getting, because I lived in a suburb next to it called Albert Park.
Go on.
And I remember getting in I fucking hate snail mail, but sometimes there was some good ones.
But if it's the PO Box 400 Abbotsford, Victoria,
it was like a leaflet. So they'd obviously been doing a letterbox drop, and it was a pizza joint, Rocket Pizza maybe.
Okay, yes.
And
they
did the most funky flavoured pizzas.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Do you know what's really amazing about you with your mic? It doesn't matter where you place the microphone. It sounds like shit. Maybe it's your voice. Before we got on air, I said, hey, just hold it a bit further down. I want to. It's because he doesn't have headphones on, so he can't hear what's
going on. I'd
regulate
myself a bit.
Yeah.
But so, did you ever get those?
We went to Mojo's Pizza.
Sorry, that's what it was, Mojo's. And it had like a guy having a parachute. It was like the logo was a parachute.
I never looked at the logo that much.
Ate the pizza.
The thing with Mojo's Pizza is they had medium size and family size. And so Brie and I are like, well, medium's not big enough for two people. So we'd get this family size. And it was the equivalent of, I think they probably, for the nacho pizza, used 3 avocados, a tub of sour cream. It was almost, I would have to go with Brie to pick it up because it was too heavy. It was disgusting. It was a different time in our life.
And you're a guy who likes to get value out of what he's purchasing.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not probably a true statement. Because sometimes...
I buy some dumb shit.
Yeah. That's maybe true. You see value in it. Anyway,
yeah.
Your thing on your head is coming along nicely.
Yeah, the scar. If people don't know, I hit my head on a van while looking at Instagram.
Yeah.
And I've been keeping people across it on Instagram stories.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'm bringing it up because I saw your post and it was like, hey guys, scar update.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's been 1 week, bro. Really tell if it's scarring after the cut's healed itself and it hasn't even healed itself.
Well, the idea of an update, like I'm telling, this is the probably the, oh, it's so
don't
tempting.
Don't scratch it.
It's so tempting. Okay, I could peel
don't
it.
Don't peel. So it's like smack bang in the center of Josh's forehead. And that's like, yeah, I mean...
Oh, it's just so fun just to give it that little
bit. Don't do it.
I have some piggish tendencies. One thing that I'm really... I know this is absolutely disgusting.
Oh, no.
But I bite my nails, but really cleanly, like peel them off with my...
Me too.
But the thing was, the other day I went to the car and I'd realized that I'd put them all on the side handle.
I'm so glad you brought that up because what did you do... What did you make me do today?
What did I make you do?
You made me move
your
car.
I moved the car. Did you see him?
It is the first thing I saw. I literally opened the door and I had to squeeze to get in the car and I looked down. Holy shit.
It's disgusting, isn't it? And the thing is, we run a tight ship.
Man, so your house is so clean. Bree runs the tight ship.
Yeah, but so even the car is like super clean. So there's nothing else there, yeah. but then there's just this little side of nails.
Look, I'd love to just really out you as this big pig, but I think everyone has them. Like everyone's got that thing that they do. And maybe it's not nails, but it could be like, I know here's one, and I'm guilty of this. Floss. So using those like pick things and then putting them all and then just forgetting about them.
My brother works in retail and he was out the back and they have security cameras and he watched one of his colleagues itch his bum and then sniff his fingers. And then
I actually know a guy that does that.
And then it's what does that even mean?
No, he puts his hand down his pants, like around his penile junk region, and then just does that. It's like he's
what sort of guy? A normal
Yeah, normal dude.
How do you know him?
Just mates with him.
Why?
Why mates with the guy who stores his his fingernails. Oh my god. Have I told you the story about my housemate in Shepparton?
No.
I hope she's not listening. So I moved into a place when I first moved up there.
Yeah.
And I had no idea who the person was.
Mm-hmm.
And lovely, lovely girl. And
however,
I had my own room. And you know, like I'd come from living by myself for quite a few years. So this was the first time in a share house. But there was a few things that she did that really started to freak me out.
So this is not good because I feel like maybe naturally I have these things and I'm only slowly starting to get better and realizing, no, these as a human, I shouldn't do this stuff.
And I think what I take from this now is she probably had no idea. Yeah, and she was treating it like she was living by herself.
It's this passive thing. What was she doing?
There was this jar that was it was in the front. It was like in the lounge room where there was this old sort of like, you know, those, they basically where people would have done their makeup or hair years ago. So they had like a few drawers and it was like a nice mirror on this wooden thing.
Uh-huh.
But there was this jar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed that there was a little bit of hair in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, there's a bit more hair in there.
That's not bad. She's collecting her hair.
Yeah. I'm getting to the bit. This is just one bit that I just started observing some weird things. So I sucked it out with a vacuum cleaner.
With a straw.
No. I had a vacuum cleaner.
She'd be like, I was saving that.
And no, never mentioned anything, but the hair went and started growing. And it would come back. So it would be like slowly.
Maybe it's some sort of OCD thing.
Maybe.
Where's the hair coming from? Her head?
Must be. Okay. I hope so.
Yeah. So anyway, go on.
But then in the... it makes me... I feel so petty talking about this. But it just really grossed me out. But the one that was fairly gross for me was in the bathroom. There was a bin. And it was like a bin that was like up on a part of the bath. And there was no like lid to the bin.
Go on.
And I know girls have to use these things, but that she would put, and she must have worn pad.
Okay.
Every day.
Uh huh.
So not it wasn't for like I don't know. She might have had a health problem.
This has gone real dark.
I know she might. I'm thinking about it now. She might have had a health problem, but she would leave these pads just fully open. So like. I get it. If you wear pads, I'm sure the protocol is you take them off, you scrunch them up, and you place them into a bin.
As the other half of the Daily Talk Show, I really want to come to her defense, but I don't know really what to say. Like, it's not ideal.
So they were open. It'd be like if you left a nappy open in the bin constantly, and that's what I experienced.
And you never brought it up with her?
No, I didn't feel like I should. I felt like I'm
Are
kind of in her house.
Connected in any way or no?
No. Okay. Anymore.
So it's all good. So anyone that's worried that she's going to hear or her friends are going to hear?
Yeah, no. So connection. Distant. I haven't spoken to her 5 years or since I left.
Okay. Was it 5 years ago that you left? No, you make shit up. It was
almost 4 years ago. At least 4 years ago. I've had my business in Melbourne for 2 years. three, four, beyond 4 years.
So before you came to Melbourne, you were in Sydney.
Oh, no, it'd be 5 years because I left. I was only in a house for 6 months.
So for people who don't know, Tommy did a stint in radio in regional Victoria in a place called Shepparton, where we did episode 50 of the Daily Talk Show at the Deck, which is one of their most iconic locations for nightclub events where people like Jersey Shore come and visit.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were... You then moved, you quit that job and you moved to Sydney to be with your now wife, Amy. Is that correct?
Correct.
And when you were there, what were you actually doing for work?
Surfing.
Really?
No.
You were living in Bondi.
I was living in Bondi.
How much was that place costing you a week?
$500.
$500. And what were you doing to make money?
Amy was...
Working.
And so I was just starting to get into freelance video.
Hashtag unemployed.
Basically.
Have you ever done Centrelink?
Never.
Done the Dole thing?
Never.
No.
You know what? I just can't be bothered. I can't be bothered having to go to the place to set it up. I'd rather just spend that time. And so I ended up getting a job at a cafe. That's right. And then I was doing some freelance stuff. And that's how I really started getting into... making money out of creating video content.
So you were doing a bit of video content while you were in Shepparton, because I'm guessing you wouldn't have had a digital content producer.
Yeah, I was making all my own videos for the show.
Uh-huh. What was it like living in Bondi?
Mate, it is the best lifestyle. It's so good.
Even $500 a week, best lifestyle?
Yeah, 100%.
What sort of place do you get for $500 a week?
A piece of shit. A cockroach infested... house. Like, the Bondi is completely infested with German cockroaches.
Yeah, they call them German tourists.
So they call them German cockroaches. They came out, they were introduced there. They're not like what you get in Melbourne. They're tiny. So they're like really, really small cockroaches. Melbourne, you get big ones.
Is it like a bed bug? Like, where do you see them?
They're all in the kitchen. So they hang out in like warm, moist places, so like in between the
humid. Like Germany. I guess they didn't. They left. They're in Bondi now.
I don't know why, but they were just known as the German cockroaches. You had to have, like, all the cafes have to have constant pest control. Mm-hmm. People coming in and, you know, giving them the once over.
What was the cafe like? Working at a cafe lifestyle like?
Oh,
so did you ever make the coffees?
Yes. No, I didn't get let. I wasn't allowed. I think that the hard thing is, if you've got a good cafe and then you're trying to teach, there's not really room to teach somebody in the times that you're actually getting smashed for making coffees. And then they were actually, the woman, they were going belly up, and they'd be like, they literally didn't want me making coffees because it cost money.
Because you would fuck them up many times.
I got told off for having specific things on my lunch break that I shouldn't have been eating. I didn't know there was a rule.
So what is the deal with cafes? When you work there, do you get a free meal?
Some make you pay.
What did you get? What was your deal?
They would give us, like, if it was over a certain amount of hours, you'd get, you know, you could have some eggs with one side.
Uh-huh.
And before that, I didn't know that there was a rule.
So you would
not
have...
I didn't go to town, but I just had, like, something on the menu that was a bit nicer than just having some scrambled eggs.
And so you would ask... So you would have to... What was the process? You would go...
No, just put my own ticket system in. No, they were cowboys, still rocking like a...
Well, serves them right for being, like, paper. For doing the whole paper thing.
Yeah, it's now gone.
What do you get for working at a cafe, pricing-wise? Like, is $20 an hour?
I think I was getting like $17 an hour cash.
I didn't mind
the cash. And that's what I literally just did. It was early morning from, like, you know, 6 a.m. till 11.
Mm-hmm.
They go home, go surfing.
6 a.m. till 11?
No, not even. 4 hour shifts, I reckon they were. 6 till 10.
That's all right.
Yeah, I was like, that's the main buzz.
What was a big learning for you doing a job like that?
the same problems in big business occur in these tiny little cash businesses that have small processes, meaning managers still are having the same gripes, you know, and the power plays are still there. And even depending on, you know, if you're in a $200,000 role, $100,000 role, or a $16-17 an hour, maybe the manager's on $25 an hour.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly the same things was going on.
So you were a waiter, essentially.
Yeah, I was just...
So you'd be like, hey, mate, can I start you with a coffee?
Yeah, cruising around.
Wipe the tables.
The cafe, Andrew O'Keefe, Deal or No Deal. He used to be a frequent. And I'd interviewed him in on radio in Shepparton and had him on the show a couple of times. So we became mates. Some other cool people that would come in. I think, you know, all the regulars. It is good. I really liked it. It's a good... I see it as a break.
Yeah. Christy Mercer, who's got the Thinker Girl podcast, she spoke about her, you know, getting axed from Kiss and now doing the whole, like, different lifestyle thing. She's working in a cafe. Yeah. She was talking about it being a bit of a ego hit. Did you feel ego hit?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely... Yeah, was it ego hit? But that's all just made up bullshit by your ego, right? Yeah. I even felt
Thank
times
fuck
like
the sound. Was someone using a vacuum for the last 10 minutes? Yeah. It's just gone away.
I felt like, oh, I don't. It's more going, oh, what if someone sees me? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to go through that thing where you are tripping on your ego a bit because it makes you have perspective on the other side. You're like, oh, God, what an absolute dickhead.
Yeah. Good lifestyle, though. So you're doing 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. and then you go surfing.
Nice. And then I just go surfing, make videos. But it was a hard time. It's a hard time. It actually felt like a break because when you're in your sort of focused career, I felt like this for me. I'm focused on creating this career of, you know, production and radio and video. And then this kind of just felt like a sidestep to just have a quick pause for a moment because it's like you need to earn money to live. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice option. I just walked into the cafe and said, hey, you need anyone?
It's sort of a fun experiment.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like a good opportunity. Like if you're going to be creating content, it's sort of a good thing to be able to empathize with people, to understand what, you know, like learning about society. You'd be meeting people every day.
Yeah.
I would just be shit at like carrying plates and... just the real sort of the things requiring coordination.
Yeah. I got along really well with like the chefs.
Yeah.
They were, where were they from? Sri Lanka or something. They're like, it was like a group of them that just, they were the loveliest dudes, worked so hard and they looked after me. And so that's what I found. It's like, you can just get in with people in any business. It's like your ability to communicate with and become friendly with staff.
Mm-hmm.
Makes the process much more enjoyable.
You talking about the Sri Lankan chefs reminded me of an Uber driver, an Indian Uber driver who I was telling him how much I loved Indian food and he gave me his phone number and he said that he would teach Bree and I how to cook Indian. I never followed it up, but man, that would have been so much fun. Like there is something cool about, like think about how many Indians and stuff are in Melbourne, like the how multicultural Melbourne is and all these people like know how to cook amazing
like
food.
Authentic
like Indian food or Sri Lankan food.
Bro, I was on the tram one night.
Yeah.
Just sitting there minding my business. A couple of Indian girls were sitting next to me.
Yeah.
And they pulled out this like freshly cooked home hot curry and she said, do you want a mouthful? And this was before they started eating. I said, you sure? I just leaned over. She fed me.
Was it warm?
It was hot. It literally, they'd come off out of an apartment onto the tram and it was...
How long ago was this?
This was years and years ago. I was just...
It sounds
been
some
in the
sort
city.
Of like zany...
I know, but...
radio stunt.
I swear to God.
I was waiting for like, you know, ding, ding, ding. You've won $10,000. Yeah, curry in a hurry.
It was one of those...
By
it was one of the moments where you it's so quick and it's so bizarre that you kind of have just gone with it and next minute it's in my mouth and I said, great, that was really lovely.
That is such a nice moment, isn't it?
I read the situation. They seem like lovely people.
Yeah. What do you reckon you were vibing with them to the point where they felt like, were you like smiling at them or something?
Yeah, probably? I must have been. They were youngish like me, so it wasn't...
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't never suggest to accept a spoonful of curry from someone on a tram.
But at the same time, it was like a great experience.
Yeah, that's the episode name, A Spoonful of Curry.
A Spoonful of Curry. But the, it's interesting.
I'm a bit of a experience junkie.
Like, yeah, there is something in... It's like me when the hairdresser said, do you want three all over? Like, sorry, three on the sides.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure what that meant. And I said, yeah, sure. Because I was like, even if this is a shit haircut, it will at least be a story. We thrive on that, don't we?
Well, it's like, yeah, getting... I like to know what things feel like.
Yeah. That's the reason, like, me hitting my head on the van. I'm like, if I'm going to nearly knock myself unconscious, I might as well do some Instagram stories. You know what I mean? Like, literally, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I've got to make content out of being an idiot. Otherwise, you're saying
it's all for content. You're saying every opportunity.
Well, we had that. I've got allforcontent.com, and you and I were talking about for ages.
Who like, were we talking about it with recently? Someone we're talking about all for, just the... thought of everything that happens. It's like you could it's a filter. You look at something happen to you in your life, oh, that could be an opportunity to get something out of it.
Yeah, I think that it's something that you have to be wary of, because you could be a slippery slope of only doing... I think we spoke about it with Haim, where it's you and the ADRing of your engagement.
Oh, that's right.
Thing. Like you could eventually just do it all for content.
You could. But I think life is like this...
is experiences. So essentially, being all for content is actually all for experiences, all for a story.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Mm.
Doing shit for stories. And it can happen in these micro ways where, like, even I'm like, oh, if I'm going to have some dinner, I might as well go down the street and get something to eat and go into a restaurant. And then, like, little things happen. We went to a Thai Styles just on Church Street. If you live in Melbourne, it's not near Port Melbourne, but it's just in Richmond, this place, on Church Street, just near sort of just down from Jimmy Grant's, in between like Jimmy Grant's and Panna Chocolate.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thai Styles, I think their main business is delivery type stuff, or like takeaway delivery, Uber Eats. And so it's never busy. But yesterday it was the State of Origin, I think.
It's chock-a-block.
What is the State of Origin, first of all?
It's a rugby. It's like rugby.
Because it was at the MCG. I didn't quite understand what was going on. Yeah, so it's
New South Wales versus Queensland.
All the lads were out. So many lads.
It's huge. It's ginormous. I don't understand the sport.
Yeah. And so
it's huge.
And
they play like, it's like a playoff. They do a few, like three or four matches or something.
Yeah. Well, this Thai place that I went to, there was a... we normally go there. There's no one there. We walked in, and as we walked in, there was another group coming in. So they went in.
Yeah.
We sat down. When we sat down, they gave us a bell and just said, just ring it when you're ready.
Mm.
Have you ever had that happen in your life? Have you ever had a bell, like a hand bell, being like...
To order. So that's when you want to order.
To get the waiter's attention.
It's genius.
It's not genius.
Well, it's not genius if it's seven.
Because I rang the bell and they took the other person's order. It's bullshit.
They came out and went to the other person.
They went to the other person. Not only did they go to the other person, but waiting there. And I was like, Brie, I said to Brie, I'm like, should we ring the bell again? And she's like, no, we've already rung the bell. I'm like, but I've clearly thought it was the other person, because so we ended up having to wait ages. And then the other mistake, another classic mistake, this is sort of, it seems like, it's like connected to a house. It feels like there's a lot going on. Potentially they have like relatives or whatever coming in from Thailand, working from there. It's got that, it's really got that vibe, right?
Authentic.
They don't really speak much English. And the mistake that Brie made, I said, I wanted my green curry spicy, right? So I ordered first. Said, can we get a coconut rice to share? Can I have the green curry? And she's like, how hot do you want? I'm like, oh, spicy, thank you. Mm. And then Brie did her order. And she said, but not very spicy.
Pain in the ass.
But this is the problem. It nearly blew her head off. You don't say the word spicy to someone where English is a second language if you don't want it spicy.
Yeah.
Because she must have missed the not bit. So all she, because they laughed at the end, because Brie said, ha, not very spicy.
Oh.
So she probably had very spicy, ha, ha, ha. And so Brie was like sweating bullets because it was like really, really, really hot. And so the lesson is to say mild or something like that, right?
All the lesson is if there's bells.
It's a bit of a, it's a silly system. Hashtag silly system.
So did you think in the time of this all going on, It's a nice story.
Yeah, no, I was enjoying the observational stuff. There was a lady on the right of us who was in sort of corporate attire, who had a laptop, like an IBM laptop. It was real corporate looking vibes, sort of like a trench coat looking thing.
Lawyer.
Yeah, potentially. But she had her like earbuds in, and then like the waitress came over to like ask her a question and the girl's like, and, like takes her headphones out. I was like, to Bray, I'm like, this chick is acting as if she's in like a co-working space and this person's coming to interrupt. You're at Thai Styles. You're at a Thai restaurant where they have bells to order. Why are you getting mad at this lady who just wants to take you? It was bizarre. And then she ordered these two massive meals, way too much for one person, had her headphones on and just ate. I just didn't know what was... I would have loved to... Similar to what we were talking about with the Lisa episode, I was just creating this narrative. I'm like, she works her ass off. Her husband is also a workaholic. He was meant to come to Thai Styles. He's not there.
Didn't show up.
And that's why she's really pissed off. But she's lawyering. She needs to get all of her emails out. And then she's ordered him a meal. And then this passive-aggressive thing has ordered it and just left it sort of there sitting, maybe.
Weren't you trying to...
do that less?
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
Were you trying?
I was giving it a go. The house sitting stuff. I'll give you an update on that.
All right.
This morning, Bree goes to the gym. She goes like 5 days a week. And
what do you do in that time?
I'm normally just sleeping still. I'm just like, because the biggest thing in life is sleep. Like, it's like the most important thing for health is sleep.
It's committed also.
Yeah.
To go to the gym 5 days a week.
Yeah, but it's a commitment to get enough rest. But anyway, so Bree, she's going to obviously the same gym in Abbotsford. We're living in Richmond at the moment. And so there's a tiny bit of a drive. But we've gotten into this great habit in the last 2 days where Bree will get me a coffee. Like, so normally we'll walk and get a coffee together. But because work's been a bit hectic, she'll get a coffee and come home. She arrives, her training's from 6 a.m. She gets home at like 5 past 7.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Does she bring it to your bed?
Yeah. Outrageous. With little protein ball. This is great.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is so good. Mate, this is the life without a kid. It's pretty outrageous. Can you imagine?
Sleep, wake up. Oh, I'm still a bit tired. I need some coffee.
And it's there. Like, I don't have to walk to get it.
I'm a bit hungry too.
So, anyway. This morning, though, I was like woken up at Bree had gone off to training, and I woke up at like 7:40. I was actually waking up to like an annoying sound, like it sounded like an alarm clock from next door, though, like a really, really faint like alarm clock, or it was just it was this weird doo doo.
That's what happens when you're in a hotel room. You can hear the alarm going off the next person's
room. I had that vibe. I was like, oh, this is annoying. But it wasn't loud enough. Anyway, so to be too annoying, but it did sort of wake me up. So I was 7:40 at this time, scrolling on my phone. I'm like, man, Bree is taking ages. And then I just hear, Josh. I was like, I think that's Bree. And so I'm upstairs. I go downstairs and I see the coffee cups on the kitchen bench and Bree's phone on the bench. And I open the front door, like the front gate area.
Yeah.
And it's Bree behind it. She had gone, she'd come home, gotten the coffees, and then Archie, the dog, needed to go to the toilet. So Bree has gone outside to let Archie out. And as she was outside, the gate slammed behind her, locking her out.
And so she was out there with the dog.
And that noise was the doorbell.
And you weren't hearing it.
I couldn't hear it. I didn't know that.
Getting your shut eye.
Getting my 8 hours sleep. And so that was really annoying. So Bree was saying that she was like, she was there for 40 minutes out the front. And she was like,
piss her off so much.
She would piss anyone off. And she was like trying to jump over the fence. She was trying to jump over the wall and without any luck. And so she was just getting...
It's a fairly high wall because I thought of jumping over it the other night.
Yeah, no, you couldn't jump over it. So there's that. And then the other quirk with this house sitting is they've got this light sensor, right? So when it gets dark, a light comes on. They have the sensor at the bottom of the stairs.
Mm. So what? So when you're walking up it goes on.
But when I'm walking down the stairs,
there's no light sensor.
I nearly fell down the stairs, but it only comes on when you're like landing in like a pile of blood because you trip down all of them. It's shit.
It should be the other way because you could.
It's easy.
It'd probably be more dangerous going downstairs. 100%.
You would 100% fall upstairs and fall downstairs.
You'd be all right if you fell up the stairs.
Falling
more
upstairs
so.
is like falling on flat ground.
Yeah.
Falling downstairs is not right. Have you ever fallen downstairs?
Nah.
I always worry about Parliament Station. I get a bit of vertigo.
Oh, because the
escalator.
It's 40 meters long and it's vertical almost.
I get a bit like motion sick and I'm like, I get all funny. Not ideal.
Mate, I used to ride boogie boards down stairwells.
Why?
When we were kids, we used to just think it was the best thing ever.
It's not.
Have you never done it?
Never.
Oh,
not planning.
We had a very different childhood. We'd get we'd either use like a piece of cardboard or a boogie board and go down the stairs. Haven't you seen Home Alone? No, you haven't.
I have seen Home Alone.
But they do it in that kind of stuff.
Well, the zaniest thing I ever did was got a bit of cardboard and gaffer taped it to the back of my bike with the spokes. So it sounded
like
I'd be riding
a motorbike.
Yeah, it was sick.
Look out.
They now have plastic, like someone's created like a plastic exhaust pipe.
Yeah, of course they had. And it's basically still has the same thing, clicking on your spokes.
It's amazing.
It's loose.
Yeah. It's a daily talk show, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. And also, if you're new to the podcast or you've been listening to it for a while and you actually enjoy it, thanks. And your ratings and reviews are appreciated. Jody sent us an email.
Yeah, just saying congrats on 100th episode. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Jody, for the support and listening. She was one of the early day emailers. So we do love our loyal, small but loyal listeners.
What's the connection to her?
Jody and I did, she was a year above me. We were in a few school productions together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that she may have been in juggling club as well. But, yeah, she...
Was she one of the wild cats who would put the bit of cardboard on her
spokes? I mean, I was younger. That was my younger days. That was sort of more primary school days. But, yeah, no, Jody's sent in I'm sure, about my outrageousness of being a high schooler.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you, Jody.
Yeah. Have a good one, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow. We've got a few guests lined up for next week too. We've got Rob Ward, who is one of the co-founders of Quadlock. So if you ever mount your iPhone or Samsung to a bike, the best way to do it is with a Quadlock.
Mate, those things are everywhere.
Yeah.
I literally saw four yesterday.
It's outrageous. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to have Rob on next week. I created their Kickstarter video.
That's so cool.
2011. Went to Macworld with them and now they're smashing it. So we'll have that next week. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Bye.